This week, we celebrate the Chinese New Year. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you now.
The Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace Process.
Other country.
A government can't control the economy without controlling people.
We will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God.
Ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
To remind America of the fierce urgency of now. Now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Now.
The Midwest.
Now.
Peace.
Now.
Process.
Now. Now. Now.
Welcome to episode 56. Today is February 8th, 2013. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jerry.
And this is Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going?
How you doing?
That's your pickup. How's it going?
We are on location once again at Granite City Food and Brewery. We'd like to thank our gracious hosts here. They haven't kicked us out yet, so I guess we'll keep showing up here every month.
And we drink anything free yet either. Though.
That's true.
We do drink their beer and pay full fare. So.
That's right. We haven't got our VIP cards yet. I'm going to have to talk to somebody about that.
Nice.
All right. So this week we're kind of winging it a little bit. We got quite a few stories in the reading room from the last month since we talked last. So hope to hit up a few of those. But for the most part, this is just going to be a free-for-all, I think. Let me shake things up a little bit. I'll start off with listener feedback. How about that?
Whoa!
I know, it's kind of crazy. So our listener, Eric, had this to say. Nice summary of the gun control issue. I agree it's a lot of going around in circles. Machine guns, tanks, etc. have been basically illegal for a long time, and I don't think we're any closer to confiscation of all weapons because of it.
Preach it, Eric.
One point on the mental health aspect, though. You talked a lot about denial of Second Amendment rights to mentally ill people, perhaps even forcibly locking them away. I believe Jeremy even referred to not doing this as coddling, although I may have misunderstood his point.
Definitely did misunderstand the point.
Okay. I think you're getting dangerously close to a division of pre-crime kind of mentality. It's easy after the fact to see all the signs that the person was dangerous, but how many people exhibit those same signs and never hurt anyone? Almost by definition, anyone who performs acts like Columbine and Newtown are mentally ill. However, the questions really are, what's the definition of mentally ill, and how likely are mentally ill people to perform acts like these?
Some good feedback there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where to start, but we had, after this feedback, we had a pretty good email exchange going on to clarify some of the coddling comment. And I think by the time I made that, okay, maybe it wasn't the best word to use, but I was also talking very specifically about the situation of the kid in Newtown who either were, you believe what was told in the press, there were clear signs that this kid had some problems.
Right.
And in my opinion, he was not being handled the way he should have been for somebody exhibiting that behavior.
Yeah.
I don't have any training, so I can't say, but it was something like his mother was considering having him committed. He had been playing video games, essentially locked in his room for 3 days or something like that. I mean,
what? Are you blaming the video games?
No, I'm not blaming the video games, but I'm saying, you know, little Johnny's acting a little strange lately. He's been locked in his room for 3 days. That's kind of a sign that you should have stepped in earlier to me.
Right. I hear you. I think the mental health aspect is one that we're hearing a lot more about this after these most recent incidents, you know, Aurora last year and Newtown. And you know what I struggle with is in my perfect stateless society, like how do you handle that? How do you handle the mentally ill? What is the mechanism that, you know, first of all, identifies those people and then enforces rules that would keep them from owning firearms and that sort of thing? Because I'm certainly in favor of that, but, you know, obviously I don't want there to be this huge bureaucracy that we call the state responsible for enforcing it. And I have to come back to, I think it becomes a family member's responsibility at some point for them to say, okay, you know, either the parents have to say, all right, my child is mentally unstable, I recognize that, and I am responsible then for their behavior, because I know that they are not capable of being responsible for their own behavior. And, you know, I don't think that's unreasonable. Where, you know, the gray areas come into, like, well, okay, what do you do when that mentally ill person becomes an adult and, you know, their parents, maybe they pass on, they're no longer in the picture, and they don't have any siblings who can step in and take care of, you know, what happens then? They're just this lone wolf out there that's kind of, you know, doing whatever they want to do. And I don't have the answers. I'm not saying I do, but
then, you know, they're an adult now, so then if they violate a law, then the justice system steps in theoretically, and
right.
But it's not preventing anything. It's not
right because
the Newtown shooter didn't violate any law.
Right, and neither did you know the Columbine shooters, and neither did. You know, the list, there's a dozen people you could list. None of them broke any laws in obtaining the weapons. They only broke the law when they started pulling the trigger. And by then it's too late, obviously.
We're starting the circle again. So.
Yes. Well, here's where I get on to the merry-go-round again.
I mean, maybe this will break out of the merry-go-round while I raise this possible issue that Jeremy's going to get mad about is I've been struck recently. I saw the interview with Wayne LaPierre, the NRA leader, with Chris Wallace on Fox News, which I've always liked Chris Wallace. I think he said some kind of snarky things, kind of to play to the Fox audience from time to time. But I think he conducts his job in a
fair and balanced way.
Sure, but in almost a combative manner. So yeah. Almost whoever's on, he's going to confront.
Right.
And I've always liked that. So when he faces a Democrat, he confronts them in the Fox News manner. But when he faces a Republican, I feel like he tries to confront them in the same manner. So I give Chris Wallace some credit. So if you can find it online, go check it out.
Well, we'll put a link in the show notes.
That's right. But I was struck by the NRA's response to what they saw as the problem of school shootings. And it was a two-pronged approach that the NRA was proposing. One had to do with more armed security guards in schools,
right.
And another one had to do with a mental health database.
Right.
Well, let's just go through those and let's compare those approaches against a standard conservative mindset, because one could think of the NRA as a conservative group. So give me your average conservative who's also an NRA member. And how does that strike them? Like, who are going to be these armed guards? Are they going to be government agents, like a police officer? Are we really talking about creating a government agency who's now in charge of putting weapons into schools?
Probably not.
Right, or is it just going to be some kind of private thing? And so what do we think of when we think of a private organization with weapons? What do we think of? We think of security guards or mall cops or whatever it is.
So you're automatically taking authority.
Well, I'm trying to think, who are these private entities who are well trained? And if they're supposed to be
spectrum,
hold on, but if they're well trained, who's going to make sure they're well trained? What is the well, what are
we
the,
have air marshals. Ooh. Are they well trained?
Yeah. But they're government agents, right? The air marshals isn't Joe Bob down the street, it's a government agent.
Okay, well,
and we can't if you're a conservative, you have no you certainly don't want to put a government agent all up in your school next to your kids with a weapon, right? Because they might take over your house because there's the black helicopters are coming. Right?
Yeah, you're taking it to the absurd.
I want
to talk reasonably. I exaggerated a little bit. And let's talk reasonably.
I exaggerated a little bit.
Government agents are going to be there and they're going to shoot our kids.
So there's a spectrum.
But how can you propose a system that would add more armed government agents into your community? That seems completely
well
against everything that a conservative wary of government would be for.
So on the one end, you've got Barney Fife with the one bullet in his shirt pocket, right?
Right.
And on the other end, you've got a former Navy SEAL who now works for Blackwater.
Right.
Okay?
I'll accept that.
I probably don't want either of those individuals in a school with my kids.
Right.
All right? I'll go on record as saying that. But somewhere there's this vast space in the middle, right, where there's all kinds of other people that...
But any involvement would be a government involvement, right?
Not necessarily. I mean,
if it's
the school district...
school, maybe.
Well, ultimately, yes. If it's a public school, the government is involved by definition.
But doesn't that sound like an increase in government involvement with weapons?
Why can't we trust a school district to hire a contractor, you know, go out and hire a private company to provide security service for their campus? I mean, we trust the superintendent of a school district to do an awful lot of other things, like hire effective teachers, feed our kids nutritious food.
Right.
You know, there's a whole list of things we trust him with. Why can't this be one more on that list?
It seems like added government. It seems like you're allowing the government to spend more taxpayer money, right? Because somebody's going to have to pay these armed guards. So they're going to take my taxpayer money and pay them to act as agents of the government with weapons.
Well, only in a public school setting.
Right. Well, I think
the private schools are free to go do this now.
Sure, that's fine. Well, I think
many of them do, the upper scale ones, where, say...
The president's
Chris Wallace's kids,
kids go.
You don't want
the president's kids go.
Are you really going to the president's kids? Are you really talking about the Sidwell Friends? Why do I even know the name of that school?
Yeah, why do you? You've been searching it around? You've been casing it?
Do you know?
Well, the point is...
Well, the Sidwell Friends School, the NRA put out an ad that said, why did the president's get armed, president's kids get armed
guard? Which I think was an effective ad
I think it was a terrible ad because the Sidwell Friends School doesn't employ armed guards. The reason why the Obama kids have armed guards? Because they're the president's kids.
No, you're wrong.
The school does employ armed guards in addition to the Secret Service.
Before the president's kids ever went there.
Yes.
That's not what I heard.
Because there were other...
Important children.
Dignitaries. There are, senators' kids that go there. And they're not eligible for Secret Service protection, but the school still provides. I think the number was 11. There were 11 armed guards who worked there at the school.
I didn't hear the said thing about 11 armed guards.
Yeah. Do they work for the school or do they work for the senators' kids?
No, they work for the school.
There was a story because
the NRA's ad was provocative. There's no question about that. And they probably could have dialed it back a few notches and still made their point. But I think it was an effective ad because it draws attention to this inequality that, we have these elites and let's leave the president out of it. Let's just talk about members of Congress whose kids go to this school. They're elite people. Whose kids somehow deserve more protection than...
I think I can grant you your private school thing. I mean, if you want to make a private school with barbed wire and a watchtower, I'm all okay with that.
Right.
But I don't understand why the NRA is proposing such a government intrusion with weapons of government, of paid government agents into our community. Why are they so for that?
The NRA is frankly too willing to compromise on stuff like this, my opinion.
But it doesn't have to do with compromise, it is,
because they're saying it could be a government agent, which makes people like you feel good about it.
Well, I just don't know how a conservative mind marries that up.
It's better than taking our guns away, it is a compromise.
Right. If the NRA came in and said, well, we think Blackwater should be protecting every school in America, you wouldn't be on board with that, right? And,
no.
And most liberals would not be on board.
Right.
With
what does that have to do with the conservative mindset of limited government? This is an addition of government with weapons.
Well, Blackwater's a private company.
Paid by
whoever writes the checks.
Oh, I'm talking about a public school here. Talking about public schools,
which
is the government
agency.
But
I don't think the NRA came right out and said they want that they want government agents at the schools. They just said they want armed security guards.
Who's paying the armed security guards?
I don't know.
The government.
I don't think they can. I don't think they just stipulated that. I think you're stipulating.
But shouldn't
that.
They care?
So are you a government agent?
Sure. Well, cut this part out.
Yeah, we can't admit that on the air.
I guess, and we could even bring
look,
in...
Look, we've already sidestepped the part where you were trying to blow away the whole armed guards at the Sidwell Friends thing, and then you found out the truth, and we just kind of moved on.
No, even without that.
Now,
yeah, I'll,
you're saying, okay, who's paying it? So they're a government agent.
We can grant you the private school. Right. If a private school wants to have an armed a guy with a gun for every student in the classroom, I think that's
I'm absurd again.
Even,
it's not gonna be for every
But what
student.
I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is how absurd that is, I'm okay with it. I would sign up for that. If that's what the school wants to do, that's what the school wants to do. I have no problem with that. The question is whether it's a public school. Whether a public institution, which is a government institution, which accepts federal money, whether my federal government money is going to go pay for government
right.
agents with weapons.
Well, look at
it
this way.
Let's go ahead and look.
We'll get to the second point, but look at it this way. The school has made the determination, and the government has made the determination, that the school would be a gun-free zone.
Okay, right.
Right?
Right.
And they're not allowing the teachers, even the teachers that would want to carry
right.
and protect themselves, they are not allowed to do that. Okay,
right.
So it's comparable to airlines now, where you're not allowed to carry on an airline to protect
right.
yourself.
Right.
Okay, fine. If you are going to abrogate my right to self-defense, then you have to provide a commensurate amount of protection for me if you're not going to let me do it myself.
That's a good point.
So if the government is going to prevent the teachers and the school staff and anybody else who might want to carry it on the school grounds, then they have to provide an equal amount of safety.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're talking sense. You should be president of the NRA. Does that make sense? That makes sense to me.
Okay.
Because you're saying it's an artifact of the artificial rule that says
right.
Miss Conroy, the crazy math teacher, can't walk around with a pistol on her.
Right.
Right. Because there's some rule that says she can't do that. And
right.
because, like lots of government rules, once you started making a crazy
right.
rule...
It's the law of unintended consequences.
Right. And then you get crazy consequences that you didn't intend, which means, well, if you're not going to let me carry, I demand that you make
right.
somebody carry that
exactly.
you want.
Exactly. So now we need a new Bureau of School Marshals.
Right. Right.
Because, you know, we've created this need now by...
I guess I haven't heard that point until now. And I guess I've heard the idea of letting teachers carry, but... Come on, dude. You guys knew the crazy teachers in school. You want to pack and heat?
If freedom seems extreme to you, it means the same thing as if sunlight is too bright.
And the second point is this mental health database.
Let's
going to maintain this mental health database?
Okay, well, first of all, the NRA has always been in favor of that.
But who's going to maintain
it? This is not something new.
Who's going to maintain such a mental
health? I don't know. As I said earlier.
As they favored it, they want the government to create a mental health database. So they want the government to go through all the citizens and check their mental health status.
Yeah, the government has never kept lists or anything before.
I am clearly not in favor of that.
But the NRA is proposing expanding that. What does a conservative mind think of such a thing? I mean, why is that?
I don't know
okay,
that I've
and,
thought
and,
enough about that. But
and what
we have
it,
no
what
fly
it's,
lists, we have sex offender lists, we have...
Right, yeah, and so the NRA, supposedly a conservative group, is proposing out front in public to add another list that wants to check on your mental health.
They're not adding another list. This
right.
list already exists. I mean, it's called the National InstaCheck System. Right?
Am I on it?
No. Presumably,
not yet.
No.
Not yet.
Not until I submit you.
You are attacking the NRA and the idea that they're a conservative organization. That's like the basis for every argument you've presented
right,
so far.
Right.
That is not valid for solving the situation.
No. No, but what I'm asking is anybody, I know a lot of people who consider themselves a rabid conservative and a card-carrying NRA member. Put those two things together, and how do those two things square?
Right, I see what you're saying. It's like, how do they reconcile this proposed expansion of government?
That's all I'm asking, right.
Okay, well, you're wanting solutions, and then this group says, well, okay, here's, what about this? And you say, ha, you are being ridiculous based on your principles.
I don't think you're going to find anybody, conservative or otherwise, who's going to say, yes, let's arm the mentally ill and let them care.
I'm not talking about arming the mentally ill.
No, but I'm just saying that even if you're a conservative, you're not going, you are going to concede the fact that we need to prevent mentally ill people from getting their hands on firearms.
Right.
So that's not incongruent with a conservative mindset.
Are you sure?
I think so. I mean,
So who's going to prevent the mentally ill from getting a firearm?
I don't know.
It's going to be a background check. Right?
Maybe it's the government.
All right, let's propose background check at gun shows.
But I guarantee you, well, they already do that.
At gun shows?
Yes.
You have to fill out a form.
Like I said, it's the National InstaCheck system. I'll put a link in the show notes.
That's what I've been curious about, why everybody thinks these gun shows are just a free-for-all.
But that system does not include every single human being in the United States.
Sure.
It only includes people who have been convicted of crimes and people who have been diagnosed
let's say some legislator says, all right, let's just tighten this up. Some are seeping through the cracks. Let's tighten up this background check idea so that we prevent mentally ill.
And I think that's exactly...
Let me go figure out what President Obama proposed. Let me go figure out what the NRA thinks about that. I can tell you right now, they're completely against it.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. And why do you have to figure out what the NRA says about it?
I'm asking about the NRA here.
Why?
Look, that's what I'm interested in right here.
If you're not interested in solving it.
Why does it matter?
The NRA is interested in solving it. So you're saying the NRA is not interested in solving the problem?
They are. They are. And why does it matter who maintains that database? Whether it's a government-maintained database or a private organization that's maintaining it, why does that matter?
You're right. It could be a private enterprise, but I think what would happen would be a government agency.
I mean, we have private organizations that maintain our credit ratings right now.
Right. It could be a private
agency. Those are not government agencies. Right. TransUnion and Experian and all that. They are not government agencies. So we trust three private organizations to maintain our credit scores.
Right.
Why can't we trust a private organization to maintain our mental health database for the purposes of background checks? There's no reason we can't. So this is not necessarily a government intervention. I mean, right now it is because the government does maintain the database, but it doesn't need to be that way.
Right. I mean, now you're talking two steps. You're about expanding the database and moving it from a public to a private enterprise.
I'm saying that is immaterial. Maintaining the database does not matter one bit.
I guess my point here is that it's not hard, and Jeremy's pretty much confirmed it. I'm not really asking for a defense of the NRA. But what I'm saying is that we seem to have this idea of, let's propose these ideas, whatever they might be, that would make sense, versus the NRA. And I'm telling you that the NRA approach is completely absurd and self-contradictory and doesn't make sense and is not a helpful institution to help solve these problems. And I think if once we all agree on that, just like Jeremy and I agree, we might be able to get somewhere. But I think you're talking about a group that is so has so lost it somehow.
Let me tell you about another group who has so lost it.
I like groups that have lost it. Tell me.
The government is saying we need to ban all this stuff because these people are getting shot.
Ban what?
They're so-called assault weapons.
Okay.
Aren't really assault weapons.
There is no definition.
There's no. It's all fear tactics.
Okay. Well, let's just start easy. What about increasing background checks, whatever that means. You say they're already there. But let's say we just did a better job of it.
Okay.
Are you guys okay with that?
Yes. What does that mean? But then, what does that mean?
Yes, I am. I mean, and like I said earlier, I'm in favor of the background checks. I don't know how that database gets populated in a stateless society.
Right.
Where everything is voluntary.
Right.
I don't know how that works exactly, other than the family members or friends or whatever stepping up and, right. Filling in the blanks. But, I would be more in favor of the background checks if it's a privately owned database versus the government.
Right, because you're always...
Because, and I'll, this has become cliche, but I'll say it, history has shown, when you start registering weapons, that's the first step to confiscation.
Well, you'd still be registering with the private company.
Right, but they don't have the authority to come take my guns away.
Right.
Now, they may give that information up to the government at some point,
right.
But then that's a separate issue.
What private institution would give information to the government?
Gee, I don't know. Maybe Google.
So, we weren't going to do gun control again.
Yeah, I know.
But here we are.
Here we are.
I think... Here's the point of my crazy rant. It's kind of crazy. I think we have a problem. I think we need to work for some solutions. There's this growing crazy light of the NRA that's supposed to represent a person's right to own guns, and I'm claiming that organization is so extreme and self-contradictory and crazy that they're not doing a good job of representing the individual's right to bear arms.
Okay.
And I think if we could, step one is to slice them out of the pie and talk to the majority of Americans who believe that I can own a pistol, own a rifle, own a shotgun, and don't subscribe to that NRA stuff. And just put them aside and let's get somewhere here. But
I would be in favor of that.
I'd be in favor of that too. Now let's slice out the other side of that pie who's saying, we're going to take all this stuff, but we have armed guards and we're still entitled to armed guards.
Right.
So don't just paint the NRA as the only crazies
There is a contingent that says we need to ban all weapons of all kinds, unless it's a slingshot.
And that contingent are the people making the laws, Rob.
Okay, so let's...
Why do you say that?
Let's cut the NRA out of it. I'm totally in favor of that because, honestly, I don't think the NRA does enough to protect people's rights.
They don't do it the right way.
They are too willing to roll over and compromise. I mean, the assault weapons ban was essentially written by NRA lawyers back in the 90s. They wrote the legislation and said, here, this is what we will sign off on. That's why it made it through Congress so quickly. So, no, I'm not a fan of the NRA. If you want to support an organization that truly wants to defend your Second Amendment rights, go with the JPFO, which is Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership. I'll put the link in the show notes. Have another one.
There's an extra F in there.
JPFO. Okay.
The four.
I guess, in my daily life, the people that want to ban all weapons are thought of as extreme leanings.
Yes.
The NRA is thought of as the group that wants to preserve the right of firearm ownership. And I think that's freaking me out. I think the NRA is just as stupid and loony as the people that want to ban all weapons.
Well,
and I think we need to chop them both out in my centrist viewpoint.
I won't say that they're as stupid and loony. I would say that they're way too political.
You weren't saying that 3 minutes ago.
What was I saying? I was joking about the NRA.
We need to chop the NRA out.
Well, right.
That was all you were saying.
Because they don't help the discussion.
You just said we need to chop out both sides.
There are people who think we should just ban all weapons of all kinds. I think they're just as stupid. I think that's equally as dumb.
3 minutes ago, you weren't saying that.
Well, I wasn't mentioning it yet. But I would.
In Rob's defense, he has said that before.
I've heard him say that.
But what this issue has come down to, because of the NRA's effectiveness in their public messaging, is the issue of, can I expand a background check, becomes they're coming for all our weapons. And they've been very effective at that message. And I'm calling BS on that.
I would agree.
90 gazillion, I don't know what the percentage is that says you have the right to own a firearm.
Yeah, because saying that they're coming for our guns is just as incendiary as the people who want to say, we're coming for your guns.
Exactly. And the NRA is a group that makes money. It's a group that makes money. And the way they make money is to fire up people about incendiary things.
I agree.
All right.
You paid it somewhere.
Jeremy, do you agree? Can we agree on this?
Sure, I'll agree.
Okay.
So we can move on.
Jeremy doesn't see it compared.
Actually, I think we're...
I agree that kind of incendiary... You're coming for our guns. We need to up our membership. Come on, guys. Let's rally the troops. That does not help.
Yes.
But a lot of times it's in response to a bill that has been, discussed.
Yes.
And, hey, let's talk about banning this.
Like Dianne Feinstein's.
Yes.
Yes.
So don't... Give them equal time. He's like Michael Irvin wanted equal time. When he was exonerated. Give it equal time.
I don't think
you cut out the crazy on both sides.
I just don't see that. I don't see the assault weapons ban being as extreme as the idea of a single background check enhancement being completely taking away my liberty. I think the assault weapons ban. And you could talk about why the assault weapons ban wouldn't even work, right? Or you could talk about like Jerry likes to mention about government actions that basically are false interventions into a system that is built to work around them, right? So if you put an assault weapons ban, companies, free markets, will find a way to make a weapon that's the most awesome that's not quite an assault weapon, right?
It's like the designer drugs of the 80s.
Exactly.
Right.
Same
exactly
idea.
The same right. So you can talk about that, but that's a different level than the NRA's stance, which is the tiniest infringement on a background check or how many if you want to ban nine bullet magazines and you go to 10, now they're taking away my Constitution. You know, they're fighting such an extreme battle that they're not helping the dialogue.
I agree they're not helping.
But why?
I don't think they're extreme enough. Like I said, I think they're too willing to compromise.
What should they be about? Give me your perfect NRA.
I think the Second Amendment's very clear. I mean,
a well-regulated militia
being necessary to the security of a free state
shall not be
the rights of the individual to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
You know it by heart. See, we prepared.
I think that's very clear.
How so?
What? Shall not be infringed.
Well-regulated militia.
Yeah. What does that mean to you?
I don't know. What does it mean to you?
Well, okay, let's talk about that. Because, you know, the militia, back at the time the Second Amendment was written, and all the way up through today, the militia means any able-bodied man between the ages of 17 and 45 who could carry a weapon.
But what's its purpose?
The militia?
Yeah.
Their purpose is to defend the nation from
and
all
well
enemies,
directed.
Foreign and domestic.
And well-regulated means well-trained, right? That's what we generally think of.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not strictly, but well-regulated meant that, you know, if you were part of a militia that was well-regulated, it meant that your state had appointed officers who were in charge of the militia and who were in charge of training all of those individuals.
Well, careful here, because if you say the Second Amendment's in charge of government officers, in charge of training,
well,
and
I said
no, I didn't
state.
Say government.
I said individual states. It's not a federal thing.
Okay.
the officers in charge of the state's militia were appointed by the state. Now, they answered to a federal authority.
Right.
But the men in charge of the local militia would be from that state.
It seems like splitting hairs a little bit.
Well, but it's an important check on what could be a runaway, because what they were trying to avoid was a standing army.
Right.
They did not want a federal mandated standing army. In fact, that's forbidden in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution.
What do we have right now?
A standing army.
We have not only a standing army, but the largest
standing army in the world.
Right.
And it is completely unconstitutional. I encourage our listeners to read Article 1, Section 8. I think it's Clause 14 of that section.
It's written in all that curly script.
Says the only man who is a member of that
section. That says no standing army can be allowed to exist for longer than 2 years. And then the Congress had to revote.
Yeah, I don't remember that revote.
To renew the standing army.
So, okay, so obviously we've gone off the rails here because we got the hugest standing army of all human time. Right. So why do we need a well-regulated militia?
Well, because the point was the militia was thought to be a lot easier to control than a standing army. A standing army would do whatever the federal authorities told it to do, whereas a state militia is not going to do anything that's detrimental to its own state.
Right, right.
And it's probably not going to do anything detrimental to its neighbors for fear of starting a war with one of the neighboring
states.
That
makes total sense.
Yeah.
So how does that marry up with our current world where we have the hugest military power that keeps getting funded by possibly the same conservatives?
Obviously, we have a standing army that has made a militia somewhat obsolete.
So why do we need the right to bear arms?
We need it to protect ourselves from the standing army.
Ron has his hands.
All I'm saying is these are good questions. I mentioned to you guys that I did a little Google search on the Second Amendment. You can go ahead and do this yourself. And go ahead and click on images, and you'll see a zillion patches that you can put on your jacket, because it's awesome, that says, what part of shall not be infringed do you not understand? It's got a picture of a weapon.
Right.
Or I'm going to create a patch that says, what part of well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of free state do you not understand? Because what part of that do you not understand? All of it! Because we don't know what that part
means.
Do you
consider yourself a free state?
Me, myself?
Yes.
No, I'm just a dude. I don't know. Yeah. Am I supposed to be a free state? I've been to Free State Brewery in Kansas. It's pretty awesome.
Well, I think
maybe you can be your own
so
militia.
So it comes down to what a militia is. I mean, and this, the Supreme Court has gone through this and talked about that a militia doesn't necessarily mean a government agency, and that it could represent an individual's right to bear arms. And Justice Scalia has written opinions that talk about what a regulation means. And
right.
It's like we've gone through this. We know what this is, and it raises interesting questions, but people aren't willing to raise those questions. We are doing it here on our podcast of millions, but what we see more is shall not be infringed, and we don't think about what does that really mean. Why was that there? You know, part of it was for the security of free state, and you're right. It was to guard against enemies foreign, right, and domestic. Okay, so you still have your domestic enemy, but you know, are we really expecting local dudes to arm themselves against the Wolverines?
Right.
And if so, it's got to be well-regulated. Who's going
to
train them?
I am actually expecting that, to be real honest. I mean, if you add up all the members of the active duty military right now that could lay their hands on weapons,
right,
it's less than a million people. Okay. We got roughly 100 million people armed in this country with 300 million weapons, okay? I'd say if I'm a member of the active duty military and I'm ordered to go up against, you know, to do, you know, counterinsurgency operations, you know,
all the IPA,
they're screwed,
right,
basically. I mean, there's no way that as good as our army is, unless they're willing to, you know, call in nuclear strikes on all the major cities to start off with, There's no way they can win that conventional warfare.
On this domestic kind of, like, internal strife. Like what if Canada comes down with their mooses, their meese, and their you know, mounties? Right. I mean, you do raise a point. If things really go into crapper, and people are trying to take our resources.
You mean when Obama declares martial law in two years?
No, I'm saying when things go really bad and we're in the apocalypse time,
right.
We're not quite a place you'd want to invade because every tent you come across might have a gap, you know?
Okay, right. We'll go back to the World War II. Japanese admiral, was he? Mm-hmm. Said that very thing, right?
Right. He had awakened the sleeping giant.
Well, right, yeah, you
look behind the blade of every grass, right. We can never invade the U.S. homeland because...
So, right, the best they could do is the Aleutians.
Right, but that's a price. Can we just get to the place where that's a price, that sort of security against the Japanese coming is a price we pay, and the price, it's something we get, actually, and the price we pay is that we got guns everywhere. And when somebody goes crazy, it's not hard to find one. And when they find one, it's not hard to go into somewhere and shoot a bunch of people. And so the solution of adding more guns to fight those people who might get the guns, like, just seems a little odd. I'll just go ahead and say it seems odd.
I will grant you, it seems counterintuitive.
But if you're
trained to think about it from a collective point of view, that you know, I have this group of people who can't defend themselves, so you need to externalize that function.
Right.
You need police, you need armies, you need navies, you need all that to protect this group of people. If that's where you're coming from, then yeah, that does seem counterintuitive.
Right.
But if you come at it from the individual standpoint, and that every individual is responsible for his own safety,
right?
Then it doesn't seem that far-fetched that everybody should be armed.
I think we're okay with that. It's just our American nature.
Well, it's the balance between those two. That's why we're even talking about this. I mean, if the Second Amendment had just come right out and said, like Switzerland, that every individual must carry a gun, end of story, there'd be no debate about gun control in this country, just like there's no debate in Switzerland.
But there would be about what kind of gun. Can I have a nuke?
Well,
can I fire a little plutonium blob at you? You know,
well,
because that's what we're really talking. Nobody,
I mean,
the crazies are saying, okay, let's get rid of all the 3 gazillion guns we have in our country, which is just stupidness. But the debate is about how easy should it be to access a gun, and what kind of gun should they be able to access? You know,
I would say that every mentally competent person should be able to access any weapon that they can afford. Now, obviously the caveat there is mental competence.
Right.
How do you guarantee that? And we've already talked about it. I'm not sure how you guarantee that.
Right.
I mean, that's probably worth talking about.
You look at their voting records.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some more stuff. Stay with us. we are back. Couple of stories in the news that we wanted to talk about. First of all, I wanted to bring up... actually, I don't know what this guy's name is. I've seen it reported two different ways. Some news sites are calling him Jordan Dorner, and some are calling him Christopher Dorner. So I don't know what his name is. But he's a former Navy guy who's also on the LAPD, or was actually fired from the LAPD. He's now gone on a rampage in Southern California and has shot two police officers, killing one of them. Yeah, but I didn't think he had shot that many.
I hope there were three dead by
the way. Well, yeah, maybe.
Anyway.
The thing about this story that interests me, and I'm not even coming at this from like the gun control angle, since that's what we've been talking about all along. What fascinates me about stories like this is his manifesto, right? He's gone on the record as saying he does not want to do what he's doing, but he feels like he has no choice. Like he's been wronged by the LAPD, and has, you know, so he's seeking his revenge, I guess, on what he sees as, you know, a wrongful termination. I don't know. Obviously, he's gone off the deep end. I mean, this is not how you handle a situation like this.
No, that was part of his termination. He was essentially on not probation, but like a medical leave for a year, and then they terminated him because of mental health issues.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that aspect of it. But what fascinates me about it is that every individual has a breaking point, right? And this individual has reached his.
Yes.
And so, you know, on the one hand, I can't condone what he has done, but like Chris Rock said, I understand. You know, I can kind of see where he's coming from. Everybody's got their breaking point. You push somebody too far, this is what you get.
But what pushed him too far? I mean, how do we know what was reasonable or unreasonable? It almost sounds like you're saying somebody did something unreasonable to him.
Well, I think they did. He was out with a more senior officer who was supposed to be training him, and he witnessed that officer using excessive force on a homeless person. And he reported that to, you know, his higher-ups, to internal affairs or whoever. And he was persecuted for that.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, he's claiming that's the reason he was fired, is because he reported this.
Okay.
And, it should have just been, you know, covered up, swept under the rug, thin blue line, that whole thing. And so what he's saying is, look, I have proof that this officer was guilty of, you know, a crime. And they're not acting on that information that I provided them. And I don't know if he has video of this. I don't know if it was like dash cam video or whatever. But he apparently sent a DVD with video to Anderson Cooper at CNN, along with some other bizarre stuff that kind of hurts his case. But that's the part of the story that fascinates me. If somebody snaps like this, you know, I always have to wonder what caused it. And, you know, I don't know.
Interesting. I didn't know that part of the story about the excessive force report.
Yeah.
More to come on that.
I guess. We'll find out.
What has Anderson Cooper done with the DVD?
Nothing, as far as I know.
As long as you're on record that you don't condone such actions when you've been wronged by.
Well, no. But I'll qualify that by saying. No, I'll qualify that by saying, you know, Thomas Jefferson said the Tree of Liberty needs to be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. The tyrants have to be killed every once in a while.
He's not killing tyrants, he's just bopping around killing people.
No, he's targeting LAPD. I'm not saying it's right, but I understand.
You drive a car with your feet if you want to. Doesn't make it a good idea.
Thank you, Chris Rock, for giving us our worldview.
Yes. All right, so what else? Any of these other stories we want to touch on real quick?
Yes, a lot of good stories. The Obama administration is violating their own stimulus law. That's a good story there.
All of these will be in the show notes for our listeners that want to check them out.
Another one where the court ruled that Obama's recess appointments violate the Constitution. That was a pretty good one.
Okay.
Well, that's not a good one at all.
I want to call
out... The whole thing sounds like just like the worst of government technicalities. You know, recess appointments are okay, but if you have one member of Congress with one eagle and they're looking east, then that means you're in session. You know, I mean, it's... That whole thing is stupid.
I want to call out one of these links in particular. It's assaultweapon.info. The title is The Truth About Assault Weapons. And I just... Not dive back into that discussion, but we kind of hit on this earlier about assault weapons. What does that mean? What is the definition of assault weapon? So I think if you go to this site, you'll find it interesting. It's set up like a slideshow, so you can just kind of flip through the slides, and there's only like 20 or 25 slides. But when you, after you finish looking at it, you'll be left with, you know, the decided opinion that there is no such thing as an assault weapon, and that term means nothing.
I agree. I thought it was quite well done. And,
yeah.
And watch the video "Choose Your Own Crimes."
Yeah.
That was a pretty good video. Rob, did you watch that?
What was that?
Choose Your Own Crime Stats. No. Yeah.
Give it a look.
That'll be in the show notes too. All right, well, they're about to kick us out of here, so we need to wrap this up. I want to say thanks to all our listeners, thanks to our special guests this evening, and all the folks that we interviewed on the street, and we'll see you next time.
Good night.
Bye now.